My name is Paul Griffin. I'm a sculptor from, I live out in Wood Point, and I went to Mount A back in, I guess, 1988 to 92, did my BFA here. So my early growth was from Mount A and Sackville, and then I went and did my master's in Guelph, and then came back, and I've been working here ever since, working at the, teaching at Mount A and doing various technician duties. So it's, I've been working on with elm trees for quite a while. I think it kind of starts, I was raised in Ottawa, and that's, I guess out in Ottawa, I remember seeing these ghost-like forms out in the forest, because I lived outside of Ottawa in a rural area. And I was always transfixed by their, they're almost these kind of sentinels, but quite lonely, and I didn't understand Dutch elm disease. But I think it was, there's always a mixture of kind of formal attraction and then also the kind of empathy for the loss of something, because a lot of these trees that I'm working with, some of the larger elms, I have one in I went one in Moncton, which is titled, one of the first ones, Sarcophagus for an Elm, and that was the first major tree. And then I also did Leviathan, which is a tree that's over in Confederation Art Center. So, but all these trees, they're probably close to, I guess, 100 and some years, 120 years old. So they've been around for a long time, but because of the ravages of Dutch elm, they unfortunately passed on. So, but a thing I've also been intrigued by is the, I think there's some sort of slow conversation with the development of a tree's design or shape, where it's almost a slow ballet of biology, where the branches depart, the trunks at certain points in time, and they form these really shapes, interesting shapes. With this piece here, I found it, and it was actually a piece, a large elm tree that was outside of Campbell House, right across from the new Fine Arts Building, as that residency. And so I saw that piece, and first I tried to do it in situ, and then they said, no, we're going to take it down. So they're bringing in to cut it down. And so I said, I'll take that tree. So they cut it to my preferences, and then I stored it away. And after it stored for quite a while, I was going through kind of various things. And luckily, I applied to the Marjorie Bell Foundation. Thank you, Marjorie Bell. And they gave me funding because I was going through all the various approaches to it, whether I do nails again. But I thought, no, I want to do something different, something a little bit more that accentuates the form. So I moved into working with copper, and Marjorie Bell, they funded me for the cost of the copper, which was fairly expensive, and they supported it, so I always appreciate that. And I didn't get to work for about 2 years on it, and then I decided to, I was very interested in the basic shape, aside from just the history of the elm and the empathy for the loss of the kind of large noble trees. It was also just the crux of the tree. That's where the branches start to depart from the main trunk. That was what attracted me. It's this divergence. It's almost like, again, a slow movement. And I trimmed it with chainsaws until it took the form I wanted. And then I proceeded to work with the copper and shingle it, and it's all hand pounded. It's about it's a heavy copper. It's not a thin copper sheeting. It's actually a 20 gauge copper, and then there's different hardnesses of copper, and this is called dead soft copper. So it's the softest annealing of copper, so you can work with it. And so then I proceeded to cover it all up, and it took me probably about a month of work, and did a bit of Michelangelo underneath. I'd jack it up because I didn't have the cranes and everything, so I just worked from underneath. But the entire trunk has been covered in 20 gauge copper, and so it's good for outside for a while. But it's a piece that I'll probably end up having it as an interior piece, similar to the large Leviathan piece that's over in Confederation Art Center.
And so this isn't necessarily the permanent home of this piece.
Well, I'm open to it being his permanent home, but not at this point. I have a kind of a leaky big warehouse that I work in, and I would bring people in, show them. I thought, this is such a beautiful aesthetic They've done such a beautiful kind of landscaping, but I was always surprised that there weren't chairs and everything over here, and because I thought this is such a beautiful aesthetic spot under these trees, and I thought that's where I should put it. And I talked to Malcolm, and Malcolm, who is the owner of the Cranewood, along with his wife Debbie, they quickly assented to me bring it over, and it all appeared the next morning, so Malcolm was quite surprised. All of a sudden, there's this huge piece, bang. I brought it over with a truck and a loader, and then Bowser Construction. I always try to work with the local people, and they often, people also kind of put towards the idea that there's a level of kind of tension or antipathy between like trades and the arts. Well, that's never been the case with me. Tradespeople that I've worked with throughout my lengthy career have always been extremely open and extremely interested in the work. You know, and they've always gone out of their way, like with Bowser's and Bud's Toying Down, they've always given me really good rates, and they've been very careful with the work and very interested, and I've worked with them a number of times, and they've always supported my career. So, like, I find Sackville is just very, very supportive of the arts, and I think it gives a breadth and a depth to the town, where every spectrum is highlighted and developed. And I think it's a great place for artists and for other people, because I think there's a level of cooperation. This piece here is, I'm interested in not just the kind of resurrection of it and the, like I said, with the trees. What I'm interested in is also just a real formal strength to a natural structure and the mating of industrial elements, in the same way I'm speaking with working with tradesmen, is using industrial elements and mating them with natural elements and doing some sort of fusion, so they're not in an antagonistic relationship. And I'm very happy with both, with all, like, Leviathan and also with Algae for an Element, is that people, what's really interesting when they come up, one of the first things they do is they reach out to touch it, they kind of caress it, and that's not something that you usually do with construction materials. So that's how I kind of measure my success, is whether there's an honest interest in both the conceptual and the kind of sensual response to industrial materials. It's an intriguing tension to kind of work with.
So it's okay if we touch it?
Oh, yes, yeah. I'd rather, kids, it's kind of hard to keep them off it. They love to climb on it. I don't think climbing on it is good, but touching is, it's all about touching, hugging, I don't care, just take care of it, and it's pretty robust. It's pretty robust.
Now, it's copper, so I'm guessing there's going to be some oxidization that's going to happen here.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. Over time, it's, even from its, the development, first development of its genesis, it was really, really highly shining when I first put the copper on it about a year and a bit ago. And it's, with oxidization, it slowly goes down, and it'll actually go down to a deep brown, and then after that, it'll go, if you see, any sort of copper, Statue of Liberty, that's pure copper, and it turns, over time, it will oxidize into a kind of aqua green, which will be quite lovely in the end. So, but it's a very slow process, so it won't change. You can do it artificially, but I prefer to have it natural, but it will go over time, and I'm looking forward to it. But I always enjoy this idea of slow homes, and I enjoy the concept of slow art. So this is very slow art. It will develop over time.
Okay, all right. How heavy is it? I mean, it must have been quite something to get it here.
Yeah. It's you needed the large loader, not the small backhoe. So it's probably, this one's probably around 2 ton or ton and a half about. Yeah, because I know the copper itself is probably 400 pounds. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's a really spectacular piece. So thank you for sharing it with us.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate all the help I've had with it, and I appreciate you coming down to get some explanation. I will get a title on it quite soon, but I've got balancing a lot of different things. So, but the title will be on it with the name on it, and I hope everybody enjoys it. Anybody wants to, that's one thing about art is I see it one way, but everybody has their own view towards what paradise is. So.
That's artist Paul Griffin speaking to CHMA from the grounds of Cranewood Cafe and Bakery, where you can admire and touch Elegy for an Elm, a striking sculpture created from the trunk of one of the last American elm trees, which once stood on the Mount Allison campus.